Trying to quit drinking without changing your thinking is like putting clean clothes over top of dirty ones. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious 40-plus Women, helping you drop the wine and pick up conscious, happy living. Gals, today is a beautiful, exciting day. It's the 11th of August, and that means we are starting our book study of James Allen's little, slim, 110-year-old volume, As a Man Thinketh. I am so excited about this one because what we're going to do with this, gals, is we are going to use it as a practice on how not to surface dwell, on how to take something we learn and actually incorporate it into our lives and experience the results over time. That's what we're doing with this book. And if you follow along with me, you can actually change your life through this book study. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Why? Because everything we need to know to change our perspective on life is in this thin volume. Now, of course, everything that James Allen says is also written in 1,000 other books. Okay, maybe not 1,000, but a good several hundred, because this idea in the last 100-plus years has been taken and expanded on and taught and looked at and approached and studied. And here's the thing. It not only works, but it's the foundation of a happy life. How we think affects our lives so profoundly. And so I wanted to go back to a very simple volume where he lays it out. And together, we're not just reading it, but we're going to agree to take action each week. So each Monday, we're going to look at this book. At the end of the snippet, I'm going to give you an action to take and follow through on for 7 days so that we can begin to feel the results of what James Allen is teaching here. But you know, the truth is, gals, before we start, I wanted to spend some time today sharing with you the story of James Allen's life. He's got an interesting life, a very interesting life. And I think knowing who this guy was will really help us. I didn't get this one off of Wikipedia. I actually have a book where his life has been studied, written by historian Mitch Horowitz. Doesn't matter where I got it, but here's the interesting thing about James Allen. I really think it helps us to take into heart what's being said if we understand a little bit more about the person who's giving us the advice. I'm not going to go into his whole life story, but there is a part of it that's relevant, especially to this book. James Allen was born in the 1860s, just over 100 years before I was born, 1864 to be exact, to a working class family with a couple of older brothers and an illiterate mother. His father was a factory knitter. And when the textile trade went down, had a downturn, and all of a sudden William, James's father, had no work, he decided he was going to travel off to America to make his fortune. He was going to leave his family behind in England, and he would call for them later. He would make some money, and they'd bring them over, and they would go to the land of milk and honey over in the United States. So off he goes, and what happens? He gets off the boat. 2 days later, he's robbed and murdered. In a back alley in New York City, they find his body laying there, his pockets picked clean. Bam. That's the end of that story. I know, right? Can you imagine? But the other thing to notice about this is that William had high hopes for his son, James. He believed him to be an intellectual, and James Allen was an intellectual, and to have a huge future ahead of him. But when William was murdered in New York City, he had no choice but to go to work in a factory. So off James goes to help support his mother and his brother and works in a factory for the next 13 years. Now, in this book, As a Man Thinketh, we're going to see Allen refer to this story without referring to himself. He does it in the third person, but we'll talk about that when we get there. But that little part of his life story, there obviously the man has a longer story than that. He died fairly young at age 47, but that was the piece I wanted you to know about because it's going to come up for us in the book. So a really tragic beginning, right? And to have to go off and work in a factory in the 18 what, 1870s, 1880s? I can only imagine how awful that must have been, especially for a young man with intellectual aspirations. Ugh, the horrors of it, right? So let's turn to this beautiful little book that he wrote and find out how it can help us, mature women, 100 plus years later, struggling with alcohol. I mean, honestly, Becca, how are we going to relate to this? Well, trust me, we are. Here's a quick reminder from last week. I read the foreword out to you gals. I'm not going to reread the whole thing, but there is one piece of it that I really want to point out again, because this book was written before anyone paid any attention to pronouns. And I'm not going to change the pronouns in this book for us to make us more comfortable. I want you to believe me when I tell you that James Allen was talking to men and women. In the foreword, he says this: It, meaning the book, is suggestive rather than explanatory. Its object being, here it is, wait for it, listen to this. The book's object being to stimulate men and women to the discovery and perception of the truth. Okay, gals, are we all on board with this? We are now going to give him a break for the rest of the book. That's the only, but right there in the foreword, he mentions women. Look, we know that, thank God, we got 100 years later, we straightened out the pronouns, but we know we were included in all the great thinkers going back many, many, many generations, hundreds of years. Shakespeare did it. He included women. So that's enough of a lecture on that. We are included in this. And if you do want to just change, I'll give you permission to change one pronoun. Now, last week, I asked you to get a journal or to start a new page in one of your journals for our study of this book. And I invite you to call it your As a Gal Thinketh journal, if that makes you feel better. As a Gal Thinketh. Or you could call it As I Thinketh. Whatever you want to call it, we are on board, men and women included. Okay, the first section of this book is about character. It is really small. That's why I kind of went on with the biography. But it's important. He's setting us up here in the first section to realize that thought creates our character. Who we are because of the way we think. Here's what he says. As a plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so every act of man springs from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. This applies equally to those acts called spontaneous and unpremeditated, to those which are deliberately executed. Gals, we got to look at this. This is what it's all about in terms of character. My life and the way I behave can only be a result of how I'm thinking. How can I be anything other than what I'm thinking? And he compares it to a seed. When you plant a cabbage, you're not going to get a tomato. A cabbage will make a cabbage, and our thoughts are seeds that are planted, and they sprout our character. Are we honest? Are we loving? Are we compassionate? All of these traits, positive and negative, are the result of our thoughts. And here's the important part as well. Keep in mind, he says, this applies equally to those acts called spontaneous and unpremeditated. What he wants us to understand here is that even if you're not planning ahead behaviors or thoughts, even those, even the ones that we didn't plan, well, I didn't realize I was thinking that thought. I didn't, you know, I was just going along doing my, you know, it wasn't, even those are going to affect our character. So even though we're unintentionally, you know, we're mindlessly going along. We're not always walking around day in and day out going, I better think this thought and I better think that thought. So even the ones that are spontaneous and unpremeditated are going to affect our character. A little later on, James Allen says, man is made or unmade by himself. Like right there, we could stop right there. Man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools with which he builds for himself heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. Isn't that beautiful? In the armory of thought, so every thought we think, we are creating weapons that will either destroy us or heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. Listen, gals, you know what I want us to really realize? Thoughts are not private things. Your thoughts are not just, well, nobody knows what I was thinking. It really doesn't matter. It's just my own private thought, whatever. No. Every thought we think, first of all, thoughts are things. They go out into the ether, into the energetic field. They are there forever. But also, they affect our character so much so that our thoughts, just literally, we can read how people think just by looking at their lives and the way they show up in the world. You know people that you're like, wow, this guy must be thinking horrible thoughts because he's so negative, or she's so negative, or they're so sad, or they're so judgmental. You know what they're thinking. You know they're not going to bed at night thinking, oh, lovely, peaceful thoughts. So James Allen says to us that we are made or unmade by ourselves. In the armory of thought, we forge weapons of destruction or heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. This is how important it is, gals, that we watch our thoughts. Now, what does all this have to do with alcohol? Let's just stop right here and think about this. This is more than just, oh, I better think I will not drink, or I better think I can stop drinking. It is not about that, because it's not really about the alcohol, gals. It's not about the alcohol. We drink to escape, to numb, to cope. What are we escaping? What are we numbing? What are we coping? Listen to this. Quote, as a being of power, intelligence, and love, and the Lord of your own thoughts, you hold the key to every situation and contain within yourself that transforming and regenerative agency by which you may make yourself what you will. Yes, that was James Allen, and yes, I changed the pronouns, but not to she, I changed it to us. Listen, as beings of power, intelligence, and love, we are Lord of our own thoughts, and we hold the key to every situation. And within ourselves, we have the power for transforming and regenerating our lives. James Allen says, man is always the master, even in his weakest and most abandoned state. But in his weakness and degradation, he is a foolish master who misgoverns his household. So when we're feeling weak, when we're not recognizing the voice of alcohol for what it is, I mean, that's the thing for us. As women who struggle with alcohol, we have a voice of alcohol, and it has a character, and it is destroying us. And if we can't recognize it and say, wait a minute, hold on, I recognize you for what you are. Thank you for showing up. But guess what? We're not thinking those thoughts anymore. Instead, we're thinking these thoughts. This takes patient, patient determination and practice. But it is worthwhile. It is the single most worthwhile practice you could undertake. More so than going to the gym, more so than giving up sugar, more so than anything you might be wanting to do, this practice, the power of your thoughts and learning how to change them, will change everything, because that will get you to the gym. It will get you alcohol free. It will heal your relationships. All of it is right here, gals. That's why we're going so slow on this and so methodical. We're almost at the end of the first section. Remember, we're talking about thought and character. Allen says this, only by much searching and mining are gold and diamonds obtained, and man can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mine of his soul, that he is the maker of his character, the molder of his life, and the builder of his destiny. He may unerringly prove if he will watch, control, and alter his thoughts, tracing their effect upon himself, upon others, and upon his life and circumstances, linking cause and effect by patient practice and investigation. Gals, that's what I'm inviting you to do. Patient practice and investigation. Let's revisit this last phrase, and then we're going to go to the homework for the next week. Let's have a look at what he says. Just like gold and diamonds have to be searched for, we can find every truth connected with our own being if we're willing to dig deep enough into our soul. We are the maker of our character, the molder of our lives, the builder of our destinies. And we can unerringly prove if we will watch, control, and alter our thoughts, tracing our thoughts' effects upon ourselves all the way through our lives. We can trace, if we start watching for this, we can trace the effects of our thoughts on our life and circumstances, and link cause and effect by practice and investigation. So how do we begin doing this? First of all, who's willing? Hands up, show of hands. Who's willing to do this? Do you have your As I Thinketh journal ready? Are you taking notes? If you're not taking notes, that's okay, but here's your first assignment. Are you ready? Before next Monday, I invite you to, number one, I want you to find two results in your life that you can tie directly to your thoughts. So the last thing that Alan said, remember, at the end of this section on character, was that if we patiently trace our thoughts, we can find their effect in our lives. So that's what we'll do this week. I want you to look for two situations in your life that you can go, wow, this is in my life because I've been thinking that. This could include alcohol. Why is alcohol a problem in your life? What thought can you trace it back to? We'll focus on alcohol. Why? Because that's what we do here. So knowing that alcohol is an issue in your life, what thoughts do you think about yourself and alcohol in life in general, considering the fact that you use alcohol to cope, to unwind, to numb? Considering all those things, what thoughts are you thinking that are creating this alcohol problem in your life? Write those down in your journal. Alcohol is a problem in my life. What thoughts am I thinking that are helping to create this problem? That's all I want you to do this week. It's that simple and that difficult. I want you to spend the entire next 7 days on this. You're not going to be able to answer it by just going, oh, let me write that down. Keep this question in your mind over the next week and ask yourself, look, watch for the thoughts, because we can't even remember half the thoughts we think. So we have to start paying attention. This all begins with awareness. And remember, thoughts are beliefs. We don't think a thought if we don't believe it. We don't generally lie to ourselves, at least not knowingly. So what thoughts are you thinking that are leading you to have to cope with alcohol, numb with alcohol, use alcohol for whatever other reason you use it for? That is your homework for the next week. What thoughts are leading you to be struggling with alcohol? And next week, we're moving on to the second section of this beautiful little book, The Effect of Thought on Circumstances. The Effect of Thought on Circumstances. Can hardly wait, gals. We're going to look at that next Monday. In the meantime, if you would like to share some of your story, The Sacred Mirror is wide open. The Sacred Mirror is a simple online form that I invite you to fill out. Just answer a couple of simple questions, and I respond by turning on this microphone and giving you a sacred reflection. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.